Well, welcome along to episode 32 of the RTE Soccer Podcast. And as always, there's a lot to get through today. And we look back at the mixed fortune of league clubs in Europe, as well as the weekend's action in the Premier League. I'll be joined by Gary Rogers and Graeme Gartland to go through that shortly. Andrew Cheel will also join me to look back at the first weekend of the English Premier League action. And Cara Kelly will bring us up to date with Piemont's preparations ahead of the start of their Champions League campaign this week. Right, lads, I suppose the only place we can really start here is Shamrock Rovers. And after a good result in Albania's back to league action yesterday with Shamrock Rovers, they took on Drogheda United in Hednigane Park. It was just the one goal in the 54th minute from Aaron Green to separate the sides. So let's hear from Stephen Bradley about his thoughts on the game.
We obviously spoke about Longford and Drogheda in between Europe can be difficult games, especially after your shift you put in midweek, really hot conditions. But I thought the players were fantastic today, their attitude, how they managed the game. The first 60 minutes, 65 minutes, we were very, very good. And then you could see we got a bit leggy, but that's to be expected after the game and the travel we've had, but they were very good.
How do you approach a game like this? Because obviously you have to mine players, for the want of a better word.
Yeah, but we don't think that there's a forced 11 within the squad. We believe every player is ready to play, and any team we put out, we believe is good enough to go to any ground in the country and win the game, and we really believe that, it's about us playing at our standards, our levels, and trust what we do, and I thought we did that really well today.
With all the games, big games coming up, how challenging is it to keep the players fit, to keep them fresh, to keep them COVID-free and all of that, and all the travel?
Yeah, no, the COVID one's the biggest worry, to be honest, with the travel. We get tested quite regular, and thankfully we've been okay, but that is the biggest worry. The fitness and the freshness, I think it's right now it's freshness over fitness and making sure we're ready.
Yeah, you were back late on was it Friday morning, so you don't get a chance to do much training, I suppose.
No, there's very little training going on in the last 4 weeks, but you have to plan for that too, 8 weeks ago, and understand that this period is coming, and we'll have to manage it as we come out of it as well, because they've put a hell of a shift in, and we don't want our European journey to end. We're ready to go again.
Yeah, and that journey starts again probably Tuesday morning, heading to Tallinn. What do you know about them at this stage?
I watched the game against in Europe on Thursday, and I thought we were excellent. I thought they deserved to win the game, and that's saying something, because that Cypriot team are really highly regarded in Cyprus. So watching the game, I thought they were fantastic. Like, really attacking players, both wingers, very good, centre forward, clever, 10 runs. They have really good movement, rotations. It's going to be a really difficult toy, but we're in really good form. We couldn't be going into it in a better scenario. Everyone's fit, everyone's ready to go, and it's one we're looking forward to.
Yeah, Graeme, you were looking at the game in Albania against Teute the other day. You were on commentary for Shamrock Rovers. It was a good result, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a really good result. Yeah, they totally deserved to go through. They were the better team over the two legs, especially in the first game. Teute didn't come to play at all, so they wasted the game, in my opinion, and then they obviously try and come out to win the game because they're a goal down, but they left holes in behind, and you see that from the two goals that Gaffney scores, that he's left them 1v1 situations and he just runs in and scores. So they totally deserve to go through over the two legs, and sets it up nicely for a game against Florida Tallinn.
Gary, this probably shows exactly the best route to get through these European games is the Champions route that Shamrock Rovers have gone on, because of their seed throughout the lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's obviously, it's definitely the preferred route. And you look at the draws that they've got. Like, it's easy to say the draws are easy, but the teams have to go out and be beaten. Like, and this will be a tough game, even though I think it's something that Shamrock Rovers are well capable of getting through, and it's a tie that I think they will go through, to be honest with you. But you can start seeing Shamrock Rovers develop that little bit of kind of steel in terms of, they're a vastly experienced group. You only need to look at the subs that they can bring on in these European games, and then to be able to change up their squad with six players at the weekend and still go and get a result. So this is an experienced group that's able to manage, the schedule and the European games as well. And I think, they're really developing into a top side, and the players that they've brought in, like Richie Tell as well, are going to add to that. So, there's no easy game in Europe, but I do think that Flora Tallinn is a very, very winnable tie, and I think they'd be disappointed if they don't get through it.
I suppose, Graeme, the benefit we have at the minute is that the vast majority of these games we're seeing have been streamed, so it's easy for the lads to actually go and do some analysis on the team they're playing. Like, Ammonia Nicosia, never an easy team to get over, so Flora definitely have something about them.
Yeah, you know what? Like I think they got beaten. They beat a team from Malta in the first leg of the Champions League, and then that puts them into the. Then they get beaten by Legia Warsaw. Then they drop into the Europa League, and then they lose to Omania Nicosia on penalties. And by all accounts, they probably didn't deserve that, you know. And that then obviously that knocks them down to the Europa Conference. But like you said, you alluded to it, Gary, there, because they start out as champions, they keep for sort of drifting down into, and they end up in the Europa Conference. So they obviously have something about them. And the way I look at it is that Shamrock Rovers are thinking, right, it's a winnable tie. We go to Flora Tallinn, you know, it's a winnable tie, the team from Estonia. Flora Tallinn are probably looking at it like, well, it's a team from Ireland, but it's a winnable tie as well. So in that sense, it's all to play for, and you're hoping that both teams have a go and have a go off it, not like what happened in the last leg where a team just sits in. You're hoping that it's a decent game, that they can both have a look at each other. But going back to your original question, yeah, it's they're a lot easier to watch the games than probably when we were in Europe. You're not just working off footage. They've played six games in European competition, so there'll be a lot to look through for Stephen and his squad to pick out things that they feel that they can maybe get at them or what the danger is. The striker Sapanen would be the one for me that they need to watch. He scored a lot of goals. He scored two in the last leg as well, so he'd be probably the danger man. For Tallinn.
Gary, you've mentioned it before about what kind of information the managers and stuff like give onto you, but from a different point of view as a player, the way they have the games in between now, whereas maybe a year ago they may not have had that draw of the game yesterday, is that good for players to have the matches instead of just coming back, relaxing and training?
It's a difficult one. I'm sure if managers had their choice, they would prefer the whole week, you know, to prep for a game like this. Now, it is easier in terms of, you know, it's widely available, the footage of games these days, and you can go on Y Scout and you can check out the opposition. But in terms of, there's no doubt a manager would prefer to have a full week's preparation. But in fairness to Shamrock Rovers, the squad that they have there, they're capable of managing, and you only need to look at their results. They beat Longford 1-0, they beat Drogheda 1-0, and then you compare maybe Dundalk and Bowes, who have slipped. I know Bowes won the weekend, but in previous weeks they lost to Waterford. So their squads are just not quite there, but I do think the Rovers have the capacity to kind of to deal with that. But look, you know, there's no doubt that managers would prefer a full week, you know, to prep for, especially a game of this magnitude. Like, you know, this game is a massive game for the club, and you know, to remain in Europe and to get into the group stages, like, so that's, you know, but it is what it is, and look, players want to play football as well, and it's a case of having to get on with it. But I do think they've got such quality in the squad and depth that they're able to manage it better than other clubs.
And to go from Albania to heading to Game Park, Graeme, you watched the game yesterday. They just have to grind out results like this, don't they? And Aaron Green's always a good man to get that one goal for you.
Yeah, like, in fairness to Drogheda, they matched up against them. They matched the system. They played like a 3-5-2 sort of variation where they played four in midfield as well. And on a tight pitch like Drogheda, it was hard for Shamrock Rovers to break them down. So that's where they were patient. You see the goal comes from a lot of passes. Danny Mandroyu plays a lovely pass for, I think it was Bourke down in the inside left channel, and he puts it through his legs. He actually crossed the ball through the defender's legs, and Green is where he should be, is in between the posts, and scores a goal. And then Drogheda rallied with 10 minutes to go and had a few chances in the game. Just things flashed across the goal. But it was a really, really tight game. There wasn't a lot of chances in the game, not many clear-cut openings. Rovers dominated without probably having a lot of clear-cut chances in it as well. They just had a lot of the ball. But again, I think Gary's right. You come off the back of European games and you roll into the weekend. It's just about getting results. No one remembers if it's a good game or not. They just remembered if you won off the back of a European game. Shamrock Rovers go and get a good result during the week in Europe. They travel back and then they win again at the weekend. And it's a killer for the other teams that are chasing, because they just think that it's just a little sigh. You come in and think, oh, are these ever going to drop points when you know, when they've two games in a week? And they don't. And that's the bit that we can be demoralising for the other teams that are chasing. So in that sense, from Shamrock Rovers' point of view, they probably just like rolling into games now because they're on a good run and they're winning.
And speaking of drops of form, that's Drogheda's fourth loss in a row. And speaking about the loss in a row, we caught up with our assistant manager, Kevin Doherty, after the game.
I thought we did really well. I thought we kept our shape really, really well. Made it hard for them to break us down. Albeit they did once, and then we had a bit more of a threat then. But I did think we might get them on the counter, like the left 1v1 situations an awful lot. Jordan was really good, in fairness to Roberto Lopez. He matched them a lot. But it was a sort of game plan of getting 1v1s down the side and stuff. And it worked, but ultimately we didn't score a goal. So, and they did, so we were beaten.
Yeah, your keeper did very well, but he had no chance with the goal, with the winner.
Yeah, I don't think so, no, in fairness. Look, it's something, again, good players will eventually, you would think, might pick a hole in someone's defence as hard as we worked, and we did, and our back three or five, and then our three midfielders getting across work, plugged holes, made it very, very hard for them. And look, we're just disappointed we didn't get one on the ourselves on the break, not even on the break, couple of half chances in the second half when we probably upped the energy levels and stuff. So look, it's disappointing losing the game like it is any game, but I have to say the lads were really, really good, and it's a positive going forward.
It's not very often that we have two lads who would be classed as legends at the same club of Drogheda, so I don't know which one to go to as far as bias is concerned here. But Gary, I'll go to you. The form has just gone off a cliff, hasn't it? Like, they're in sixth place now, whereas they were on a good run at the very start of the season.
Yeah, look, it's you're always going to have that, I suppose. Look, they've had a great start and they picked up points and plenty of wins, and now they're kind of losing games by the odd goal. And they just need a result in order to turn that and kind of, you know, get back on the horse again. And in fairness to Tim and Kevin, they've done a great job there. But now it's about, you know, turning it around. I know they've suffered a lot with injuries and stuff like that as well, but it's about just picking up that next result. And if they had got a point there against Shamrock Rovers, I know they've Dundalk coming up next, and that's going to be a difficult one. They've lost both games to Dundalk this year and played probably well in both of them and probably should have got something out of it. But now you look at Dundalk this weekend, that's another tough game for them. So if they could get a result in that one, it might kind of get them back into their groove again and get a bit of form, because they've been able to score goals throughout the season, and generally that's the problem with teams that come up, they can't score goals. But Drogheda have been able to do that, and they'll be, you know, hopefully trying to get a result this weekend.
Yeah, it's just about, as you said there, Graham, like, they had that period of in the game where they could have got something out of it. It was the same the week ahead against Derry when they lost, but the first 10 minutes of the second half against Derry, they could well, balls across the box if somebody just had gambled. But it's that kind of just that little small bit where a striker like Aaron Green gives you, whereas injuries hit Drogheda just don't have that at the minute.
Yeah, they miss lines, don't they? And Doyle comes on. But yeah, it's somebody in the box to take the chances. I think there's probably a lack of strikers throughout the league. I don't think it's just in terms of Drogheda. But obviously when they came up originally, they had that enthusiasm and that energy to run at teams and constantly attack, and they scored a lot of goals at the start of the season. They were the attacking side, they were getting good results, and now it's like when the goals dry up up front, and Gaz, I think we went through a little bit of drought, we weren't scoring, but then it just, you're nearly under more pressure to keep clean sheets, because you know that you aren't going to score a lot of goals in the game. So that there's a nervousness then come into the back four that, or your defensive players, that just wasn't there early doors, where they're unsure because they know one goal could decide the game now. Where before, when they were scoring maybe a little bit more in the earlier part of the season, they knew that, well, we can keep going, we'll get back into the game. Now they're worried about maybe giving up goals because they know there's a lack of goals up front. But yeah, I think Tim was suspended yesterday, so it was a difficult one for them as well, and they're not expected to maybe get results against Shamrock Rovers. So in that sense, they're probably just looking at the performance first and seeing, well, can we put in a performance? That was something to build on. I spoke to a couple of players after the game, and the whole thing was just trying to contain Shamrock Rovers for as long as they could and try and nick something on the break. And you heard it from Kevin there, but Kevin touched on it. They leave a lot of 1v1 situations, but when you have Lopez there with his recovery pace and Scales, and even Hoare with their recovery pace, they're okay and they're comfortable in 1v1 situations. So they're happy to leave that, knowing that they have a lot of pace behind them and the experience at Alamanis as well. So Drogheda weren't able to capitalise on anything yesterday.
Yeah, that leaves Drogheda in sixth place on 30 points with the two or three teams right behind them, chasing them. Well, we'll move on now. Bohemians welcome Sligo to Dalymount yesterday. Another team returning from what was a difficult away trip, and a goal from captain and leader Keith Buckley in the 64th minute was enough to secure victory. In a moment, we'll hear from Liam Buckley. But first up, we chat to Keith Long.
Good performance, good win, fully deserved. probably could make it a little bit easier if we'd taken a chance or two more. But, you know, the boys showed brilliant resilience to come back after Thursday's disappointing defeat away in Greece in the conditions that we played in, the temperatures that we played in against the high-level opposition that we played against, and to come back today and to, you know, to put in the performance that we did was really pleasing.
You obviously left, you mentioned about chances left behind. I suppose Georgie Kelly's chance straight after the goal, and I think Stephen Mallon had a second chance as well, about 10 minutes later.
Yeah, we had some chances, and, you know, unfortunately we didn't take them, but I suppose the pleasing thing is that we were there and we were creating those chances, and that's part of the game. But we were able to not necessarily grind out a result. I think it was, you know, we were full value for the win, and 1-0 doesn't, you know, probably reflect our overall performance. We probably should have got a goal or two more to, like I said, make the game a little bit more comfortable. And but listen, it's a brilliant win, testament to the boys. They've come back from a tough European campaign, and they were able to get the win today, which was really important, because in our some of our performances so far in between European games have been disappointing. So it was brilliant for the boys to show their character today.
And finally, just in terms of the league, you're only, what, 3 points off third position now behind Sligo Rovers. You're in prime position to start shooting for that third place.
Well, listen, it's important that we won today. We won't be getting, you know, it's important that we bounce back, because we were disappointed last week in Waterford, like I say, and it was an important win today. And, you know, yes, we've reeled back in Sligo a little bit today, but, you know, we're only concentrating on our own performances and trying to, you know, get that right every week, and to hit a consistent level of performance week in, week out. And I think, you know, like I said, I can't praise the boys enough today. Their character, their resilience, the resolve that they showed after, you know, a tough game on Thursday night, you know, very little turnaround, and the conditions that we played in, you know, the boys showed brilliant endurance levels as well as resilience, you know. So there was probably fatigue in the legs, but there certainly wasn't any fatigue in the head. They had a great attitude and they worked ever so hard.
I was disappointed. I think there was a lot in the game for the first hour. I thought we had a few chances, just that when they scored, we just sat back a wee bit, and I would have liked a little bit more drive and enthusiasm in relation to getting ourselves back in the tie. But we're disappointed.
You were bright starting off. Jordan Gibson had an early chance down the right flank, and there was a couple of other chances that came out. I think it was Romeo Parks had two chances halfway through the first half, but just didn't come off.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said when you score first goals in these games, you know, kind of way. And they were really good chances, those, you know, kind of way. If you do get back one of them, they're on the front foot, they've got a different game plan then to try and push on a little bit more, maybe leave spaces, etc. It wasn't to be. We just didn't take our chances. They've gone down in the second half. They've scored a decent goal from where they're at. But I'd say we'd be disappointed again with the result.
I suppose it's been quite difficult over the last couple of weeks, especially with the European competitions and all that. Six losses on the bounce now. It's obviously a difficult time to try and stop that rot.
It is, yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, when you're winning, you just don't see yourself losing. When you're losing, you've got to jump out of that, because it's difficult to see yourself winning. As I said, there wasn't a lot in the game for an hour here, just 70 minutes, I'd say. That said, within the group that we have, we're still turning the table, by the way, and we're still 4 points ahead of Fort. So we've got to dig in and make sure we end up in the top three, and that's what we'll do from the early end of the season.
Well, lads, we'll discuss Sligo's need of a lifeboat to go and help them with their form in a little while, but we have to go back to Bohemians and what was a great performance by every single member of the squad out in Thessalonica during the week, and the unfortunate loss. Like, it just goes to show how far this Bohemians team have come, Gary, that a 2-0 loss against Pauk seems to be not even a moral victory, but we seem to be upset about it because there was such a good performance by Bohs.
Yeah, no, they've been brilliant, I think, in Europe, and the performance in the Aviva Stadium the previous week was outstanding to a man as well. Like, and it's just unfortunate that they gave away, you know, the goal, and Pauk would have been happy getting out of there, obviously, with that goal in 2-1, and over there in the heat and them circumstances, it's always going to be a difficult tie. But, you know, they've really stood up to that challenge and performed brilliantly. I think they've been a revelation in Europe, and, you know, they will be disappointed, you know, especially with the first goal coming so early in the game. And it's, you know, you when you get chances in Europe, the thing is you've got to take them. And unfortunately, they had a couple of opportunities and just didn't take them on the night, whereas they took them in the first game and put them under serious pressure. So I think Bohs will take a lot out of their European campaign this year, and that will probably, hopefully for them, drive them on, you know, to get back into European football for next year, because, you know, they've had a fantastic campaign.
Graham, you've been at the end of it. I know we talk about chances and stuff like that. A lot of people have spoken about Keith Ward's chance right at the end. You've been in kind of the same situation where something like that has presented itself to you, and unfortunately you've gone out of Europe. It's tough on Keith, isn't it? And tough on the side.
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it, for him? Like, you know, what's at stake then? It goes around, but in your head then after, like, what could have been? And that's, you know, that's sitting room for a while. It's not something that ever leaves you. Like, people still ask about certain things that happened to myself in Europe, or even, like, the team and the chance Adam Hughes has against Kiev in the last minute, you know, to put that would have put us through. And it's something that still gets mentioned, and it's hard because you're answering on behalf of somebody else here as well. So, but I know Adam was upset about it after the game, and I'm sure Keith is as well. I agree with Gary. I think what Bows have done in Europe is fantastic. I think they've performed really well. They probably outperformed again against such a high quality opposition. I think it should galvanise Bohemians as a football club to try and go on and take silverware this year. I know they're playing Shamrock Rovers in the cup, but they should want to get back into Europe next year. They should want to try and put trophies on the board, because they've a decent squad, they've a young squad, and it should keep their hunger. And once you get success, and I know myself and Gary were lucky in that we went to Drogheda at a time when they were trying to be successful. We won a cup in our first season, and that just gave us that just whet the appetite to want to win more. Like, and you want days like this, you want moments like this where you have something to look forward to next season. You know, we won the cup, we finished high up in the league. Now we have Europe to look forward to next summer and go and build again. So from Bo's point of view, it's about capitalising on that hunger in the squad to make sure they go on and achieve things over the next couple of years with this squad.
Gary, from a Keats point of view, he's had to rebuild the squad nearly every single year over the last couple of years. You would hope that the finances that come from this could kind of help him secure a squad for next year. And as you said, once he gets European football, they know what it's about now.
Yeah, I think what you'll see is a lot of clubs doing their business now in around Europe. You know, that mightn't be in the public domain, but I would say Keith is very busy at the minute tying down players and trying to keep that squad together, because that squad that he has off the back of this experience as well, you know, will really help them for next season. And I think you'll see that he'll be trying to tie down the likes of Dawson Devoy and Ross Tierney and Georgie Kelly and all these guys that have performed so well for them, you know, throughout the campaign. And like, they've kind of really grown this year, Bohemians. Like you said, they've lost a lot of players at the start of the season, but you know, throughout the season they've gradually got better and better. And but for a poor start, I think they'd be right up there in the mix. And like I said, I think you know, tying down these players and building and adding a few players to it will be key to their development for next year. But look, European football is where they want to be at. Like, you've got to wait now a year, you know, for it to come around again. So you've got to, you know, have that desire from now till the end of the season to get yourself back into the equation to play European football for next season. So that'll be key to everything that they want to do. But I think they'll back themselves, they'll try and get the players tied down, and you know, in the hope that they will achieve that goal and getting into a European spot or winning a cup, which will also get them European football as well.
Keith mentioned there in his interview, Graham, about the results they had in between. So they obviously had a loss to Waterford, drew with Longford, and then they get the result yesterday. That's mostly important now when they look at the league and see they're only 4 points behind Sligo ahead of them.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned it before here that it's really important to get results off the back of your European performances, no matter if you know, you're successful in Europe or not. If you have a positive result on the Thursday, it's really important to get a positive result going into your domestic campaign at the weekend. Because, you, like Gary says, it's that hunger to make sure you're in Europe next year. This is the first time they've won off the back of a European fixture on a Thursday. So from that point of view, that's what Keith will be looking for, is to show you that you can be in Europe and have runs in Europe, but that you're always taking care of your domestic business at the weekend. And that's really important. And like he mentioned, that they weren't mentally tired in the head. I think that's the biggest thing. It's concentration levels at the weekend to make sure you're not giving up easy chances and that you're always in the game. And I think that's what they've done by all accounts at the weekend. So from that point of view, from Keith's point of view, looking at your squad, they have to show that they're able to perform midweek and then go into a domestic game at the weekend and put in a positive result. So I agree with what Gary's saying, though. I think it's important that Bo's try and tie their players down. They lose a lot of players in the off season, a lot, but they're losing them sometimes for nothing without any fees as well. So it's really important that they tie them down so that if they are going to move on, that they're getting a fee for them that they can reinvest it into the players that they want to keep at the squad, or maybe even get players in financially, maybe buy a player or bring a player in on bigger wages because they're able to sell players as well. I think letting them go for nothing is troubling for Bowes as well.
Well, we talk about European results and following them up with good home results, but for Sligo Rovers, it seems to be that since that half an hour result, their form has gone off the cliff. Like, as we've mentioned already, they've lost six in a row in all competitions. Something needs to change and change. I know Liam mentioned there, Gary, that they're still close. We're still in third place and they're still close to the top two, but that form is definitely not top three finishing.
Yeah, look, I think they've lost the last six games and all by a goal, so it's fine margins for them. They're obviously, look, they're not firing like they were early on the season. You know, they were winning them games by a goal, and I know they've had a few injuries, and John Mahan was injured, and Buckley, and, you know, Ed McGinty, and everything kind of happened for them, I suppose, at the wrong time. You know, Johnny Kenny and a few other guys were out, and great Bulger is missing, and he's been pivotal to Everton. That's been good about them this year, and he gives them that foundation. So they'll be looking to get him back in the team as quickly as possible. And, you know, they really just need a result to turn it round. You know, I just think they're probably, I was at the Bohemians game, and, you know, they huffed and puffed, but they didn't really cause Bohemians that many problems. They had a few kind of half chances in the first half to flash across the goal, but. You know, Bohemians were full value for the win, and, you know, probably could have got a goal or two more in the second half. But yeah, they really need a result, a bit like Drogheda. You know, they've had a kind of a poor run of form, and you're wondering where that next point or 3 points is going to come from. But it needs to come quickly if they're going to maintain a European push, because I think realistically now they're probably too far away, certainly for a title challenge. I think you're relying on Pats to kind of give Rovers a run for it. But, you know, European football will be very important to Sligo Rovers, and you know, they're obviously in, you know, pole position in terms of where they are at the minute in terms of points on the board. But, you know, unless their form picks up, you know, they're going to struggle to hold on to that position.
Yeah, and next up for them is obviously Derry City in the Showgrounds next Saturday. It's a tough one, Graham, to try and get your form back in, isn't it?
Yeah, especially on Derry after getting a good win at home to Dundalk as well. It just shows you that, like, the teams behind them, like Bohemians, obviously Pats haven't really pulled away from them. The only team that have benefited out of the stretch of sort of games that long Sligo have been on has been Shamrock Rovers. They've benefited because they've won their games. The teams underneath them haven't been able to capitalise on the poor run, and that's why the victory for Bohemians yesterday was so vital, because now it puts them right back in it, that they feel that if they go on a little run here with the form that Sligo are in, that they can overtake them and pull away from them and cement their place for Europe. But again, they just need to grind out results, really. You know, work off a clean sheet and then go from there and see what happens. And once you keep clean sheets, you'll always have a chance. And sound a bit like Paul Doolan here, but that's the way it goes when you're on a bad run of form. You know, if you keep it tight at the back, you know, you might nick a goal, you mightn't even play well, but you come away with a victory, and then you can build on that. But Liam Buckley, I think he'll keep trying to play a certain way, and sometimes he might just need to, you know, just be a little bit more defensive minded and grind out results till he gets the players back that Gary mentioned.
Yeah, well, as if we planned this, we may as well segue into the Derry versus Dundalk game as
We're rolling now, James. Rolling, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Dundalk returning to league action after a very positive result kind of against Vitesse. They played really well against Vitesse on Thursday night with a trip to the Roy McBride Brandywell Stadium, and a goal in the 50th minute, a penalty from Jamie McGonigal, was the goal that sealed it for Derry. It's the first win, Gary, against Dundalk in the Brandywell since 2012. That alone is just a crazy stat.
Yeah, look, it's I would have been aware of that when I was playing for Dundalk, because we had a great run against Derry, and there was kind of a spell there where obviously we were picking up lots of wins, and look, Derry is not the easiest place to go to, as you as you know, but we had a great run against them for so long. But I think you know, Rory will be happy to get that win under his belt against Dundalk, obviously given the what's been going on there between Rory and Vinny in terms of the Patrick McElhenney situation. So he'll be happy with that win. But look, I think, you know, Dundalk off the back of the European performance by Dundalk on Thursday was sensational. I think, you know, they were brilliant to a man, and very unlucky that, you know, the first goal was ruled off offside, even though it was nowhere near offside, and that would have given the platform to go on. And look, they had chances in the game. I think they were brilliant on Thursday, and then you have that, you know, the difficulty of going up to the Brandywell and to play Derry, and Derry are a team who are, you know, resurgent under Rory Higgins, and you know, full value for the win. And but Dundalk lost a few players as well, you know, throughout the 90 minutes with McElhenney and Daniel Kelly, and looks like Dave McMillan's picked up a bad injury. So, you know, it's worrying for Dundalk in terms of, because Vinny's done a great job since he's gone in there, but he's losing a few key players now, and the squad is probably not as big as it used to be. But you know, with Derry City at the minute are you know, are going really well, and Rory Higgins looks to be building something really good there.
Yeah, the trip to the Vitesse game in Tala, like as you said, goal ruled out for offside, which was never offside. Chances going and missed. Like, I'm sure Vinny and the guys, when they look back at it, maybe the day on Friday afternoon or so, will be ruining that, because they had a chance to get into this qualifying round.
Yeah, well, I was sick, to be honest with you, because they were like, I was gutted for the players because they played so well and they created so many chances, and they really asked the questions of Vitesse. And look, that's a top side, and you know, it's probably an indication that how far this league has come on, that, you know, you're playing a Dutch team and you're disappointed walking away from Tala Stadium that you haven't gone through. Because I think, you know, if we got to extra time, you know, leaving aside the goal that was disallowed, they had chances to, you know, like the Dicky Kelly put a ball in the box for Dave McMillan in the last few minutes, slid in, I think it went under Dave's leg and stuff like that. But we had numerous chances, you know, to get that second goal. And I think if it had got to extra time, there was only one winner. Like, I think Dundalk were really kicking on, and the fact that they were, you know, had the league games under their belt, they were going to be stronger for it, because, you know, you could see Vitesse, they were getting, you know, their discipline was going and stuff like that, and they were rattled, because they're a team that would be expected to, you know, to comfortably go through against the League of Ireland team. But that wasn't the way it panned out, and I was very disappointed for everyone involved, because, you know, they put in a tremendous effort to get themselves into that position. And but for, you know, you've got to take your chances in Europe, as we said, Seven Graham has said, that's vital. Europe is about, you're going to get opportunities, but you've got to take them, and that's the difference in Europe. And Dundalk had enough chances in that game, you know, to go through, but unfortunately they didn't go in.
Graham, Vinny mentioned during the week that if they don't get to Europe this year, it's not a massive loss to Dundalk and nothing will really change at the club. But you feel they have to. It's now to put a challenge in, and that Dundalk outside of Europe just won't be the same Dundalk.
Yeah, I think they're seventh in the league at the minute, which, like, for the Dundalk side that can perform like that against the Tess, is probably something that they need to rectify, and rectify quick. I do think they're capable of going on a run, but they need to print maybe. I know they released two players as well during the week, and they're down bodies, as Gary said. So they haven't got the squad maybe that can compete in Europe and then go and play at the weekend. So with them going out of Europe now, they probably need to just reassess where they are as a squad, reassess where they are as a team, and then just plot a way of getting themselves up the table and push for Europe. With the money not coming in from the European football from next season, you have to see what Finney can do with the board to make them competitive again next season. They go off they've been the most successful club over the last 10 years with the European football, with all the leagues they've won. So it's really, that's why you're judging them off. You're not judging them off Dundalk from 20 years ago. You're judging them off the last 5 years that they're synonymous with doing well in Europe. They got into the group stages twice. They've won leagues, they've won cups. So that's where the judgment comes, that you want them to push up the table. For them to sit in seventh and be able to put in performances like they did against Vitesse shows that they're capable of playing a lot better than they're shown in the domestic competition. But they need to win their games and get up the table. They need to start going on a run to make sure that they're competing. But I do think they'll miss European football if they don't make it next year. I think they miss the revenue. I think they miss that for attracting players as well. Bringing players in, they want to be playing in European football. So I do think it's something that they need to rectify and look to what that plan is. I'm not sure what the plan is at the minute for Dundalk. I know Vinny's gone back and he's done a really good job, and I've a lot of time for Vinny from the outside. I don't know what the plan is, because I know it was all built around being successful and being in Europe, but they had an idea of how to do it. They brought in the best players from Ireland, they brought in good players from outside. Everything was built towards a drive and a hunger in the group. But like I said to you, they've let a couple of players go during the week. I didn't even see them playing for Dundalk before. They're down a lot of bodies injury-wise, so they need to have a look and see where they're going to go and what they're looking to bring in and who they're looking to recruit, and then allow them to try and push on for the end of the season and for next season.
Gary, I remember a while ago you were speaking, it might have been in the season where you were way behind Cork City, and there was one game you said where you, as a squad, had a heart-to-heart the next day and then pushed on and caught them. Is it time for that to happen in that Dundalk squad now, or is there the characters to have it happen in that Dundalk squad?
Well, I think there is the characters. There is, look, the strong characters still in that dressing room, but, you know, there's huge amount of distractions that go on, you know, not just, you look at the players in the dressing room and you look at, you know, how they perform in Europe. The capacity to play good football and, you know, the quality of the players, that's there. But I do think that the whole uncertainty around the club, you know, has led to, you know, the league form, you know, demising over the last couple of seasons. You know, we spoke there earlier about Bohemians getting their business done and trying to sign up players. I don't know what the strategy is at the minute with Dundalk in terms of doing their business and signing the players that they want to keep at the club next year. Like, is it a case like last year, they let everyone's contract run out until the end of the season and then spoke to players? But, you know, they lost players. Some players went, some players, stayed on, obviously. But, you know, this strategy of leaving until the end of the season, clubs are doing their business now and will be doing their business from now till the end of the season in terms of cherry picking the best players. And you look at the performance of the Dundalk players, you know, over the European run. There's players there that, you know, that clubs are going to want, there's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, to leave them sitting until the end of the season with uncertainty over their contracts, you know, that's just not going to fly. I think you will always lose your best players because the likes of, you look at Shamrock Rovers picked up Sean Gannon and Sean Hoare, and you know, you will have that situation develop again where some of your top players like Pat Hoban and these guys will move on if you know, contracts aren't put on the table. I think, you know, to leave it till the last, till the season is over at this stage, it's just poor business. It doesn't make sense because you know the quality that was there. Like, lads last year qualified for the group stages. You know, what more indication do you need that players are good enough than that? So it's a strange situation, and it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of work around getting it right. And like you said, at the minute Vinny is there as manager, but is Vinny going to be there next year? You know, who's going to be in charge? So they need to first of all sort that out so that, you know, he can plan, because, you know, the man that needs to be making these decisions is the manager. So they're going to have appoint Vinny or appoint somebody else. But I think, you know, you've got to get that in place first in order to build upon.
Yeah, and speaking of former Dundalk players like yourself, Gary, St. Pat's and Waterford on Friday night, very, very tight affair in Richmond Park, but a goal in either half from Matty Smith and Nathan Melvin Lambert put Pats 2 up before a 63rd minute penalty from Junior brought Waterford straight back into the game at 2-1. But this game will be remembered for an incident towards the end of the game where Lee Desmond and the goalkeeper Yaris had a clash that seemed Desmond needing treatment on the pitch. And before we speak about that a little bit more, let's hear from Alan Matthews and Mark Burcham.
It's great that we got the 3 points. Although at the end of the game, our only thoughts and concerns are about Lee Desmond and his well-being. He took a bad knock and, as you know, had to be carried off the pitch, and it didn't look good. So at the moment, it's great that we won, but that just fails into insignificance when you look at what happened to Lee. And he played a great part in enabling us to get those 3 points. So hopefully he'll be okay. He's gone straight to hospital, and we'll see where we go from there with him now.
Were you able to have a chat with Lee before he was taken off? I know we're not long after the final whistle here.
Yeah, he unfortunately was unconscious for a number of minutes on the pitch. And thankfully, by the time he got on the stretcher and was taken off, he was conscious. We don't know, obviously, how, you know, he got the knock. It was, I think, a clash of heads with Veit, our goalkeeper. But we don't know, obviously, the nature of his injury, but bad laceration to the side of his head, and obviously he was parked out for a while. The game itself, we thought we should have perhaps, you know, seen it closed out earlier, but we didn't. You give credit to Waterford, who threw everything at us in the last couple of minutes, and it was Lee and Veit who played no small part in ensuring we got those 3 points, going together for a ball in the box, showing great desire and willingness to ensure that we got the right result, which unfortunately resulted in Lee getting injured.
I want it to come to an end, but if we lose, I want us to lose in that way where it's close, it could have gone either way, and we're fighting to the end, to the final whistle, and the other team knows they've been in a decent game and we've gave them a good game. So look, you can't win every game and you can't keep the streak. Has to come to an end soon, but that's the way I want it to be. But on the flip side, I'm disappointed because our tactics were to try and nick the ball off them and get them on the counter attack, and I think we've done that a number of times in the middle of the field. But today our quality just wasn't there in the final pass or the final shot.
Yeah, lads, a good result for St. Pat's, which keeps them in touch with Rovers at the top. But we have to come back to the Lee Desmond incident, and I was at the match, and the way it was handled by the referee and the first aid. I don't know if you guys have seen the incident or not, but it just seemed, as Alan mentioned there, he was out cold for a number of minutes on the pitch. It didn't seem good. It didn't seem good from the players around him. But the time it took for first aid assistant to get to him, I personally think it was way too long. I don't know about you guys on the pitch. You see different things when you're playing. But I don't know, seeing players react the way they did, something was seriously wrong straight off and needed to be looked at. I don't know what your own opinions on it are. Gary, what you?
Yeah, I think, you know, in them circumstances, you need, you know, people to be reacting as quickly as possible. I don't want to be too critical on you know, medical staff and that. But it's a difficult situation because it's hard to know until you get in there how bad it is. But generally, you can tell by the reaction of players. I've obviously been involved in a similar situation couple of years back, where, you know, a player was knocked out, and it's, you know, it's difficult for everyone involved. It's not a nice experience, but thankfully, look, what you want is the result to be right at the end, and Lee is you know, being discharged from hospital, and that's hugely positive, and you want to see him get back on his feet as soon as possible. So, obviously, a very worrying situation for everyone that's there, and fans even looking in. I think from both sides, I think everybody is obviously wishing him well, and you know, like I say, if your health is your wealth, it pales into insignificance. You know, the football results, as long as, you know, nothing happens, you know, serious to a player on the pitch. And I think, you know, we can be all grateful that, you know, this situation, you know, Lee has come out the right side of it.
But he not waved on quick enough, James, or was it everybody looking to see who was going to take control of it?
Yeah, I think it was a case of someone trying to see who's going to take control. I understand from John's ambulance, etc., who were there and doing a great job week in, week out at League of Ireland grounds, they need to be waved on by the referee. I think the referee took far too long to make that decision. And I think even in the meantime, before that decision's made by the referee, I felt the John's ambulance should have been making their way down the touchline to the goal mount and waiting, so standing
two,
right beside the
physio, the two physios should run on for a head knock.
The two physios were on in seconds. That's, they were great. On within
and then
seconds,
they need to then
physios.
Alert the referee to get the ambulance.
And they
on.
Did.
Yeah.
They yeah. did. And whatever happened there. Now, as we mentioned, we've already said Lee thankfully was discharged in the early hours of Saturday morning from hospital and given the all clear, obviously just with the laceration to the head. We may see him not playing for a couple of weeks, but it was a scary moment, to tell you the truth. There was kids in the game. You could hear people panicking. Everybody was panicking around seeing what was happening. Now, it did come out, as we said, it turned into a good result as far as Lee being discharged. But I feel that this is the kind of thing that needs to be reviewed within the league, how we deal with this.
Yeah.
What situation, how it happens. But it is desperate. As you mentioned, Gary, it's happened to you before where you've had a player out, so it's not good for players around them.
No, there's always learnings, I suppose, James. I know it takes a serious incident like this, you know, to highlight it and, you know, to refresh things with people. But, you know, like you say, there is probably improvements that can be made, and that's no criticism on the kind of officials, you know, at the minute. But it's something that Everton is always evolving, and Everton can always be improved. And, you know, you can put in place plans and strategies around, you know, head injuries and protocols for referees. And I think it's always important to refresh these ideas, you know, to keep up to date. And look, you know, the most important thing is the protection of the players on the pitch, and you know, whatever it takes, you know, in order to make that, you know, the best scenario possible, you know, that has to be implemented.
Yeah, well, moving on to the actual football part of it, obviously a good result there for St. Pat's, keeping them in touch with Rovers at the top, bringing what was a good run by Waterford to an end. But talking about more woe, poor Longford having more woes heaped upon them, with Finn Harps going to the stadium on Saturday, the only game on Saturday, and coming away with a 3-0 win. Great result for Finn Harps, but Dara Doyle must be scratching his head now as to what he can do to get out of the situation, Graham. What can he do?
That's the hard one, because I was obviously at the game against Shamrock Rovers when they lose in the last minute with an unbelievable header from Lee Grace. And he'd done so well in the game, you know, they had defended manfully, they got bodies behind the ball, they carried a threat a little bit up front with Dobbs and Manley on the right had done really well for them. And I thought, you know what, they're playing for each other, they're digging in, they're fighting to the end, they're doing all they can, and then you get a home game against the team just above you and you think, right, here's a chance to build on that. You know, you're unlucky to lose to Shamrock Rovers to a certain extent, but you have a home game against a team that's similar to you, just above you, go and put in a performance and take a victory and show people that you're still fighting to stay in the league. And to lose 3-0 is just probably demoralising for them. It's a tough one for them. They came up through the playoff. They probably weren't set to come up in terms of their squad. They probably lack quality from throughout the squad. They have good players that are young players that are coming through, that have come through the ranks with them, but it's just hard for Dara, it's hard for John Martin, that they're trying everything they can to stay in games. But again, they probably need to be putting up a better show than they did against a team that's just sitting in a position or two above them.
Gary, quick word on Harps. They needed a result to start pushing up the table again, especially with Waterford doing so well.
Yeah, look, I think Harps, you know, they have that kind of experience within the squad. You know, they've been able to eke out results at the end of seasons every year, and they're starting to pick up a few results again. Obviously, the difficulty the Harps generally have is, you know, when you have got three games in a week sort of thing, because a lot of their players are part-time, and, you know, that in itself brings extra challenges for players in terms of recovery and preparation, stuff like that. So, you know, when it's one game a week, it certainly suits them better. And look, they've got quality players in their side, and McGinley, for like the core of the team, McElhenney, McGinley, Siddiqui doing well at the back, and, you know, Ryan Connolly in the middle of the field as well, McNamee, these are all very experienced players, and you know, they have that kind of know-how to get results. And I think Finn Harps, I suppose, you know, in contrast to Longford, they will have seen Longford as a game, right, this is where we go and pick up 3 points, and they went and done their business and got the 3 points. I think Longford have been excellent, you know, the likes of Shamrock Rovers, the games I've been at a couple of them where, you know, they conceded last minute goals and they've put up really good showings, if you like, against top teams. But it's, you know, it's that bread and butter in the teams that you need to pick up points against. They haven't been able to do that, and there's no doubt that they're playing for you know, their manager Dara does a great job there, and you know, the lads are certainly playing for him, there's no doubt about that. But you know, they're just lacking that little bit of that know-how to get the results in the Premier Division, and you know it's looking like they're going to be going back down. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, lads, we could talk League of Ireland all day, and if we were let, we probably would, but we just have to see how your fantasy football team are getting on at the minute, and we're joined to look at the first weekend of the English Premiership with Andrew Cheel, regular contributor to the podcast. Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It was great to have a crowd back behind me at Watford on Saturday. You've no idea what it does to a reporter to have noise behind you to fight against. It's great.
That's just because the managers can hear you giving out from the stand, isn't it?
Yes, I have had the occasional row with my manager down the years, that's for sure.
Well, Andrew, I don't know about your, I don't know what the guys take out from this weekend. I think, obviously, the bees getting off to the best start ever.
Yeah, I think that was an indicator that A, Brentford are ready for the Premier League, and B, Arsenal are very, very, very much on the wane. I'll tell you what about Arsenal. It reminds me of, do you remember the film Fever Pitch? It was about Arsenal at a stage in their history when they were coming out of a long period of winning nothing. Well, I think, unfortunately, the club's heading back towards Fever Pitch land right now. Well done to Brentford. I think they thoroughly deserved it. They played with passion. They played with loads of passion and got the better of an Arsenal side who frankly weren't up for it.
And it's a bit bad we mentioned Fever Pitch. You talk of Brentford's new stadium, but at that stage Arsenal were in the local stadium of Highbury. So maybe Brentford are having a bit of that about them now.
Yeah, I think it'll make a big difference to Brentford to have a proper Premier League standard stadium. I mean, great respect to Griffin Park. I've been there a few times. But, you know, it's not really much of a stadium, to be absolutely honest. Now they've got a brand new one. It makes a big difference. And the fans will absolutely love their new stadium.
So what was your take for the weekend, Andrew, as far as best game or anything like that stand out?
I think the standout game for me was the Manchester United 5-1 win over Leeds. I mean, to have done that with the quality of the Leeds United side that they're facing, 5-1 is absolutely staggering. And not only that, but United have just bought themselves a new defender as well, Raphael Varane. So for me, I think United were the standout of the weekend. If you look at what they've got up front now, United, Cavani, Rashford, Fernandes, Sancho, outstanding strikers. But then they've got Mason Greenwood. He's, for me, the ace in the pack. Potentially, that is. I think this is a massive season for the young man. He reminds me a lot of the young teenage Trevor Francis. But this is a season in which I think Greenwood must move from boy to man. Otherwise, there'll be so much potential ending up in disappointment. But if he does it, he's going to be absolutely electrifying.
Graham, from Manchester United point of view, Pogba has had a really, really good Euros and he's come back with that form now.
Yeah, he has, I think he produced 4 assists at the weekend. I think Pogba just needs people behind him that can control the tempo and the pace of the game, and then you get him into the areas where he can cause damage, whether it's his true balls or his pace and his power. He's obviously so powerful when he drives as well, but that's where I think United, I agree, United have a lot of attack and prowess. They've obviously signed Varane, and with Maguire at the back, they should be a bit stronger defensively. I do think they just might lack in terms of a midfield controlling player. I don't think Fred or McTominay can control the tempo of a game. And when you play against the better teams, I think that's the most important thing, is that how do you control the rhythm and your momentum of your team to get your attacking players into the game. And I think they've lacked that. And I think they've lacked that since probably Michael Carrick hasn't been with them.
Gary, from a point of view, this is probably the first game we've seen with the new VAR system, where Fernandes' goal last year would have been ruled out, this year ruled in.
Yeah, I think, look, it certainly was a far smoother. I think, and them fine lines, like a fingernail over the line and it'll be ruled out, I think is wrong. Like, I think, we've seen the benefit of it at the weekend. It was far smoother, and, Bruno Fernandes for the goals, and even the goal line technology, like, there could have been two goals ruled out if it was left, if there was no technology there, like, for his second goal where it was cleared off the line or from behind the line. So, but the quality of his goals and the touches and the build-up to it was frightening. I think United look exciting. I agree with Graham in terms of, the midfield anchor man, that base, the foundation that you need to hold things together. But in terms of an attacking team, they're a very exciting team, and they've got great creativity and options in it.
Andrew, to yesterday's game, Man City versus Spurs, obviously no Harry Kane. There's a couple of news outlets are talking as if this is a death in a club, the way they've been going on about it. But they still overcame Man City with the big signings on the pitch.
Yeah, I think Spurs have got some really good players in reserve. If Harry Kane doesn't play, they look to Lucas Moura. I think he's an outstanding player and he's been underappreciated for several seasons. So he's a talented player. I think he could score 15 to 20 goals a season if they started him regularly, which they haven't done up to now. So if Kane goes, and I'm still not convinced that he will, I think they already have a player in reserve who could step up to the plate and do a decent job for them. As for City, okay, they lost their first game, but when did Pep Guardiola ever panic? He never panicked as a player, and he doesn't panic as a manager. And to lose one game at the start of the season is not going to faze him one bit.
Yeah, we had a Manchester United fan beside me in the office yesterday, and he happened to quip the, well, hang on a second, that's two losses in a row for Man City now with no goals scored.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well made. Yes, absolutely. Two defeats on the trot. That's a crisis. There was a time when the old Ipswich Town chairman, John Cobbold, was once asked what would constitute a crisis at the football club, and he said, if we ran out of dry white wine in the boardroom, that would be awful. I think if Guardiola ever ran out of Rioja in his boardroom, I think that might be bad. But other than that, he's not going to panic. He's got Grealish. He's got, you know, £100 million worth of talent there. One of the best midfielders, if not the best in the country. So he's already improved his squad on last season, no question. So don't panic, City fans. You'll be there or thereabouts at the end of the season.
Gary, the goal yesterday, from a goalkeeper's point of view, Is it the defender puts the goalkeeper off, or is the goalkeeper just not paying attention?
If the goalkeeper's not paying attention, that's a good one. That's the goalkeeper's job to pay attention. It's a difficult one for him. You know, I'm always going to defend the goalkeepers.
Always going to defend them. Graham, as a defender, surely he should have cleared that ball. He should have had a body swerve in the middle of it. Like,
yeah, you'd hope to think so, wouldn't you? Yeah, keepers are always causing trouble. I think once the distance between the goalkeeper and the defender gets too tight, it becomes trouble, doesn't it? That's where I agree what Andrew's saying. I think City will always be there or thereabouts. I feel that Nuno Santos actually done one of the coaching courses I was at in Scotland, and he worked a lot on counter-attacks and stuff, because that's what he done with Valencia, and that's what he done yesterday. City had majority possession, but Spurs were able to counter-attack them. And that's where he's really good at. But that's where Man City missed the likes of Kyle Walker, who's able to stop counter-attacks, and they were left exposed, like, you know. So, but I wouldn't be too worried about Man City going forward.
Andrew, there's another cup I want to get onto. One is the Chelsea game and Trevor Chabala.
Yeah, he had an outstanding debut. I mean, he's been waiting for some time, hasn't he? And it's a reward for his patience that he finally got there. And that left back position, that left side of the back three, has been a dubious one for a little while. He really did step up, didn't he? I mean, I was impressed by his patience and his perseverance and his calmness. I think was what impressed me the most.
Yeah, it's not very often kids who come through this kind of system like that get to go through a game like that and have that type of a debut. It was phenomenal. Like a debut beyond his years.
Yeah, I think so. The last time I saw a debut like that, as you say, a debut beyond his years, was Cesc Fabregas' debut for Arsenal. And it was only a League Cup game against Rotherham, I think. And he strode around as if he owned the pitch. And I think Chaloba was the same on Saturday, just looking as if he belonged there, which was a remarkable thing for a man of his age.
Yeah, we'll move on now to one of my other points is they didn't want them, they got him, and Rafa gets a 3-1 win at home.
Yeah, Everton. I mean, Rafa, he's strange, isn't he? You know, I mean, is he the only man who's ever managed both Liverpool and Everton? There have been a few players down the years who've played both sides of the city, but not managed. And I think his canniness, his tactical awareness, and just a little tweak here and there, managed to get his team back in the game and overcome Southampton, who I worry for at the moment. I think they might be relegation candidates this year. But Everton, top six maybe under Benitez, I wouldn't be surprised.
Briefly to you, Gary, you were called into an Irish squad a little while ago with Shamie Coleman. I think that was his 200th appearance for Everton. That's some going, isn't it?
Yeah, like Shamie, in terms of, you know, what he's done, like what a man. Like, he was brilliant, obviously, in the League of Ireland before he went, but then to go on and had the career he's had and the influence that he has around, you know, the dressing room, not only the Ireland dressing room, but obviously the Everton dressing room as well. You know, he's one of these guys, I think, you know, you won't hear a bad word said about him, and that's for a reason. He's such a good guy around the place. He sets really high standards. But anyone that comes into the Ireland dressing room is welcomed in, and I'm sure that is the exact same in the Everton dressing room. Like, you know, you couldn't speak highly enough of him. Like, he's a tremendous kind of role model to young players and League of Ireland players as well to aspire to. You see what he's done, and he's come out of the league, and you know what he's doing week in, week out. You know, with Everton and Ireland, he's been a phenomenal player and role model for people to look up to.
That's our review of the Premiership. Thanks very much to Andrew Cheel for joining us. Lads, before we go, we have to mention Stephen Rice, pals of yours, I'm sure the two of you know him very, very well. After a great season with the under-23s at Crystal Palace, coming into the Irish setup as the away team analyst, what do we think of that one?
I spoke to him the other day, just said congratulations to him, and he worked at Shamrock Rovers for a long time as well when I was there, and he worked with the FAI before he went. But he just puts in the work, Stephen. Like, you know, you can't, people will look and think, well, you know, Stephen Rice getting a job at the FAI or with the senior squad, he's gone away, he's left his own comfort in terms of Ireland, he's gone away to the UK by himself, to London, worked with Crystal Palace, done a terrific job. But Stephen's just all about football, and he works harder than anybody in the game. So he fully deserves it, and I'm sure he's going to leave no stone unturned in terms of looking opposition analysis. It's a job that Rory Higgins did before him. So Stephen's obviously backing lads in the League of Ireland as well, and has a trust in them to know that they understand what they're talking about. And Stephen's a prime example of somebody who's just grafted his way through. This isn't, you know, I've worked all my life to be an overnight success, as they say. So this is one of those cases where he's worked really, really hard. He's done all the courses. I used to always say to him, why are you so busy? Like, you know, because he just wanted to do everything. He'd do courses on management, you know, outside of it. He'd do courses out in Satanta College and things like that, just to constantly educate himself. So it's something he totally deserves.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for your time today, lads. It's been a great to chat to the two of you and to Andrew. Thanks very much for your time. I just run quickly through the weekend's Premiership results, and it was St. Patrick's Athletic 2, Waterford FC 1, Longford Town 0, Finn Harps 3, Bohemians 1, Sligo Rovers 0, Drogheda United 0, Shamrock Rovers 1, Derry City 1, Dundalk 0. And in the First Division, well, we had a bit of a shock, didn't we, at the weekend? So, UCD 6, Athlone 0, Galway United 3, Shelburne 1, and that's the shock I was talking about, because I'd only said last week that I thought they'd go all the way unbeaten. Wexford 2, Cavan Teely 1, Bray Wanderers 1, Treaty United 0, and Cork City 4, Cove Ramblers 0. That's the results from them. Now, before we wrap up the podcast, the Women's Champions League qualifying rounds get underway this week, and last year's SSC Airtricity Women's National League champions Piemont United will be there. Cara Kelly caught up with them, some of their players, ahead of their trip to the Netherlands this week.
Women's National League champions Piemont United are currently looking to secure their third domestic title in a row. But this week, they take a step away from the league as they travel to the Netherlands to compete in the Women's Champions League first round of qualifying. On Wednesday, they will face 10-time Serbian champions Spartak Subotica in a new mini-tournament round of qualifying. In this new format, they are guaranteed a second game regardless of the result of their first. This comes as a change to last year, as they bowed out of the competition after a penalty shootout against Glasgow City in a straight knockout tie. I spoke with Lauren Kelly, Anya O'Gorman and Dervla Byrne ahead of their return to the Champions League. Dervla, Piemont are on the way back to the Women's Champions League again. Are you excited now with the challenge ahead?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. It's obviously a reward for winning the league last year, and then we would have played Glasgow last year in the Champions League as well, and that gave us a really good feel for things over there and the standard, and even to just go and play a different team. You're playing the same faces every week in the National League, so to go out there now to Holland and play the Serbian team, we don't know any of their players. We've never played against them before, so it'd be really nice in that sense.
Piemont captain and Irish international Anya O'Gorman has a wealth of experience from both at home and abroad. But having come agonisingly close to a win against Glasgow last year, she knows there's still a lot more to learn from that loss.
Obviously, it was a tough one to take, losing on penalties going into a play against a good Glasgow side. But I think we can really take the experience of last year and bring that into this year's tournament. And I think everyone's really looking forward to it, the challenge of next week. We know it's going to be a tough task ahead playing the Serbian champions. They're quite experienced in European level as well. They've got to the last 32, I think, on three occasions. So, look, no mean task. We'll do our analysis and our preparation and prayer the best we can. Hopefully we can go a step further this time.
What are you expecting out of this side?
Yes, we're expecting them to be very physical, a strong side like any other European team. They're going to be up for it, and we have to hopefully go over there and assert our game on them and play the way we play. And that's something I think that we can definitely do if we get a good run at the game now. We know we're going to play another fully professional team, and we know that our commitment has to be there 100%.
Having spent the last four seasons playing with DLR Waves and most recently Wexford Youths, Lauren Kelly returned to her childhood club, Peamount, just 3 weeks ago and is relishing the opportunities that await on this European adventure.
You know, when you're younger and like Champions League is kind of like a dream, or like, you know, it's just like such a like fire thing. And I suppose for all of us and even the younger girls coming through, the 17s and the 19s, like it'll only make them, you know, want to keep progressing and, you know, keep getting better. Like it'll be a great experience from them. But even for us, and like there's girls there like who are very experienced and, you know, have been playing a long time and seen a lot of the world and stuff. But I'm sure they get just as excited every time. So it'll be good and it's very exciting for us.
It's an amazing opportunity and it's something I hope that we can all stand up and take and show everyone what we're about. And we're obviously representing the Women's National League, we're representing Peamount in Ireland, and hopefully we can do a good job at that and show everyone what we're all about.
And this year marks 10 years since Peamount became the first Irish side out of the men's or the women's to qualify for the knockout rounds of a European competition. I suppose that's a really special record for the club to hold, and is that something that you've thought about in the build-up to these Champions League games?
I was thinking myself the other day, I remember when I was about, I don't know what age, I would have been 10 or 11, but I went to watch Peamount in Tala against PSG, that would have been that time. And now like the likes of Anya still there, Steph, like all them like players I looked up to when I was growing up, and now I'm going to be playing with them. So like that is, it's something to build on. It's something, you know, that can we replicate what they did. But like I said, them girls are still around, they'll use that as well, they have the experience, and I'm sure they'll pass it on to us and help us, guide us and see what we can do.
I was actually talking to some of the girls, Karen Duggan and Stephanie Roach in training the other night, and I was like, what year is that? And it is 10 years on since we played PSG. But think back then, when you're a little bit younger, you just kind of take it in your stride and you're maybe a little bit naive to it, but now when you look back you realise the significance of it. And look, I think it's a great opportunity for us to do something special again. I think the experience of last year kind of feels like there's a little bit of unfinished business there. So look, we'll hopefully go out and do the business.
That's great hearing from the girls in Peamount. 10 years ago, that PSG game, I was at it myself, and the PSG littered with French internationals. So fingers crossed they can go one better and maybe get to the group stages again. Their campaign obviously starting on Thursday evening in the Netherlands. Meanwhile, Shamrock Rovers will go into the qualifying round against Flora Tallinn on Thursday evening out in Estonia. Fingers crossed they can bring home a good result. And that's all we have time for on this week's podcast. Until next week, thanks very much. Bye-bye.